Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to IMGL Refractories Limited Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call hosted by Monarch Networth Capital. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Faizan. Good evening to all. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, we welcome you all for the IMGL Refractories Q4 FY 2022 earnings call. We are delighted to host the management, and from their side, we have their MD, Mr. James McIntosh, and their CEO, Mr. Kamal Sarda. Without any much time, I'll hand over the call to Mr. James McIntosh for the opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, James.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on the IMGL Refractories Limited Q4 and FY 2022 earnings conference call. I hope you and everyone around you is safe and in good health. Along with me in the call, we have Kamal Sarda, Director and CEO, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. We have uploaded the results presentation in the stock exchanges, and I hope everyone has had a chance to go through these. Now let me share some of the business highlights with you for the year that's gone by. During the year 2021-2022, our global business was impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, which led to disruptions to a greater and lesser extent to our company worldwide. The pandemic, combined with other well-documented conditions, resulted in disruptions to our global supply chains and caused unprecedented cost increases in a number of areas. First one is freight, particularly for vessels originating in China, used in the supply of our products and receipt of raw materials, and also from our manufacturing plants in China. Cost increases in all raw materials, plant consumables, and components used in the manufacture of the products, irrespective of the location of supply. Shortage of certain key raw materials leading to supply and demand issues, resulting in costs doubling or even tripling prior to our cost before. Energy cost increases across all sectors needed to run our plants and equipment, and inflation costs leading to labor cost increases. Despite all of these cost increases and supply chain issues which we faced during the year, our company posted its highest ever yearly revenue in the financial year on the back of strong demand. A special thanks has to go to all of our employees worldwide, as this growth is a testament to our tremendous team as they work long hours to ensure that we continued supply at elevated levels throughout the many challenges faced. It's also very important to note that we had received strong support from our customers worldwide for price increases in the products we supply. However, as we have said before, there is always a time lapse between our receipt of cost increases from our suppliers to when we realize the increased revenue from the price increases received from our customers, and this has contributed to a slightly reduced profitability. The ongoing conflict, excuse me, between Ukraine and Russia has resulted in an unprecedented situation which has adversely affected operations of two of our customers in Ukraine, located in the Mariupol area, where hostilities are still continuing. We've been unable to make contact or have any news through reputable third parties regarding the current standing. As a consequence, the company, as a matter of abundant precaution, have made provision for these. Whilst the company is hopeful of the ultimate recovery of trade with both of them, we decided to follow our conservative accounting approach. The World Steel Association forecasts that steel demand will continue to grow through 2022 and into 2023. However, The outlook for 2022 has weakened due to inflationary pressure, which is further reinforced by the events surrounded by Ukraine. The impact of the war will be particularly pronounced in the EU due to its high dependence on Russian energy and refugee inflows. Steel demand in the developed world is forecast to increase by 1.1% and 2.4% in 2022 and 2023 respectively, after recovering by a quite large 16.5% in 2021. Further comments regarding the main markets affecting IFGL business worldwide are as follows. In the USA, it's expected that the economy will maintain strong momentum, although high inflation is a concern, with inflation at 8% in February 2022, the highest since the early 80s. The recovery is expected to continue in 2022 and 23, albeit at a slower rate, reflecting the high base effect and monetary policy tightening to tackle inflation. Steel demand will be supported by a recovery in non-residential construction, auto production and investment in the energy sector, as well as capital investment projects as a consequence of the infrastructure bill. In India in 2022, construction and manufacture will likely be supported by spending on infrastructure and a gradual revival of the automotive production, which is expected improvement in the semiconductor supply. Expected raw material supply constraints in the international market will result in higher domestic mining output and the support of capital goods sector. Infrastructure in four key areas, national highways, railways, water infrastructure and government housing, will remain the main driver of construction growth. New projects in the residential real estate segment are all expected to gather pace. In Europe, the impact of the war is expected to be larger due to Europe's close trade and energy links with Russia. Russia is the fifth largest trade partner of the EU, accounting for 5.8% of the EU's total trade in 2021. Energy takes a lion's share of the EU's imports from Russia, about 45% of their imports and 25% of their oil come from Russia. Italy and Germany appear the most vulnerable amongst the major EU countries as their dependence on Russian gas exceeds 45% of their gas consumption. The war in Ukraine will further delay the manufacturing sector's recovery from the shortage of semiconductors, with the automotive industry the most vulnerable sector. Construction activities will be affected by high material costs. As a result, the EU steel demand in 2022 is expected to contract slightly. In 2023, the World Steel Association expects the situation to stabilise and accelerating investment in the energy transition will provide some positive momentum for steel demand in the region. It is evident, as refractories are a key product used in the manufacture of steel, that our company operates within a growing market and demand, especially in India, where the growth predictions for the industry continue to outpace the rest of the world. It is therefore important that we continue to improve and invest in our capability, both technologically as well as in capacity. In all areas of our company globally, we plan robust investments. You will see this in our presentation, which follows. In our three domestic manufacturing locations in Odisha, Gujarat and Andhra Pradesh, we continue our expansion plans, which aim to strengthen our position in currently supplied market sectors, expand our product line capabilities into commercializing new products, improve the technological capability of our products, and improve the cost effectiveness of our operations. We have also started construction of a new state-of-the-art research and technology centre, which will be built within our core manufacturing location in Odisha. This will enable the company to improve its own material intellectual property database, expand its products, and improve our technological approach to sustainable material and technology development. We will also be shortly announcing an exciting modernisation of our corporate identity and incorporate this within a new modern website, improving our interface with customers, prospective employees, suppliers and all of our stakeholders. Also, our approach in the area of ESG will be strengthened and we have recently signed an agreement with a global consultancy leader in this area, which will focus initially on our Indian operations to bring our approach to a level commensurate with our standing within the industry, and then be rolled out globally. At our locations in Germany, UK and the USA, we are also investing in our manufacturing capability, and we'll share more about this in the forthcoming quarters once our investment approach is clear and decided upon by our local management teams. We are confident that we will successfully navigate the volatility of the commodity markets in general and the steel market, as well as ongoing Russia-Ukraine situation and also the most recent outbreak of COVID in China, which all added to the complexity of the supply chain. Our future plans will enable us to continually expand our business with a focus on quality and technology, supported by our long-established foundation of cost-effectiveness to optimise profitability. With this short speech, I'll now hand over to Mr. Kamal Sarda for his comments.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you. For the quick overview of the business. Let me give you a brief on the business performance for the financial year 21-22. As you must have seen, our company has recorded its highest ever revenue in FY22 on the back of strong demand from India as well as from the international businesses. Our margins were impacted on account of sharp inflation in raw material, operating costs, freight, energy costs, as explained by Mr. Jim. But as the economy continues to expand, we anticipate the need for refractories to remain buoyant. With improved capacities and additional production capabilities, we aim to increase the business's scale, leading to operating leverages benefit over the long run. Let me give you a brief update on the CapEx front, as mentioned by James in his comments. In FY23 and FY24 put together, we plan to invest about 50 crores in our Odisha plant, which includes almost 20 crore for the new research and technology center. We are also expanding facilities of our Kandla plant with an approximate cost of about 44 crores, and about 65 crores will be spent in new product lines in our Visakhapatnam plants. Our focus now remains to complete these new CapEx plants in a time-bound manner and continue ramping up the existing capacities as well as new products. Let me give you a brief on the financial highlights. On a standalone IHL, the total income increased by 36% year-on-year to 240 crore in quarter four, and while it went up by 22% year-on-year to 801 crore in FY22. So both are the highest. EBITDA was down by 8% year-on-year to 34.2 crore in the last quarter. For the year also, it was down by 8% to 131 crore in FY22. This was after the 13.8 crore provisions which we took on account of Ukraine effect. EBITDA margin stood at 14.2% for the quarter, and for the full year it was 16.4%. During the financial year 21, our PAT was impacted by one-time deferred tax adjustment on account of goodwill. Hence, adjusting for that, PAT was up by 46% year-on-year, while it was down by 3% year-on-year for the full year, FY22. Moving on to the consolidated financial highlights, total consolidated income increased by 27% to 366 crores for the quarter and 1275 crores for the full year. Both are also highest. Consolidated EBITDA was down by 12% to about 43 crores for the quarter and about 158 crores for the full year. Full year it was down by about 10%. Consolidated EBITDA margin was 11.6% for the quarter and 12.4% for the full year. As mentioned earlier, adjusted for deferred tax goodwill impact in FY21, consolidated PAT was up by 8% for the quarter, and it was about 77.5 crore, down by 10% for the full year. Also happy to share, the board of directors have recommended a final dividend of rupees 7 per share, which translates to about 40% dividend payout of the standalone PAT. With respect to liquidity position, we remain net debt-free with a strong balance sheet. Cash at March 2022 stood at about 263 crores. Nutshell, and I think the rest of you must have seen the presentation. With this, I now leave the floor for any questions. We'll be happy to answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. The first question is from the line of Gunjan Kabra from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. So firstly, I wanted to understand what could be the potential impact of steel export duty on the refractory industry, and have the capex of the steel industry, can it get postponed for some time because of the duty?
I think what's our understanding is this export duty is just to control the prices and the inflation, and I think this should be pretty short term, maybe 1 month to 3 months time. It should not affect any performance of the industry as such. And we have not heard any deferment of any capex plans.
Okay. Sir, also, if you could bifurcate, it would be great that growth in revenue between volume and price quarter and quarter, and has the raw material pressure eased out with respect to previous quarter? What is the outlook on the raw material side going forward?
We don't have the figures between volume and price, but both have grown significantly, I would say. Both contributed quite good. And the raw material prices have not eased out as such. There are maybe some prices are stable, some prices are still going up.
Okay. So just one more question. How is your business model different from our competitors who are having almost double EBITDA margins than us? Do they have advantage that fares well for them on margin front? Just trying to understand the working of the industry and nothing else.
There's no difference between the business model as such. Maybe the product, I would say, portfolio may be slightly different here and there. That's it.
Okay. And so there was power cut in Andhra Pradesh in April. So did that impact our production at the Vizag plant?
There's a power cut for about, I think, 1 day a week. And I think we have readjusted
Hello?
Our production facilities accordingly.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
So sorry, I didn't get your answer.
I said there is a power cut for a day in Vizag plant. We have readjusted our production plan schedules according to that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Tetalwad from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Good evening. Could you give us the revenue, EBITDA, and PAT for the three subsidiaries for the full year?
Chirag, can we talk separately? Can I call you after this?
Sure, sir. But would you not?
Yeah.
The annual report would have these numbers in any case, right?
Annual report will have it, yes. The printed annual report will have it.
Right. Okay, fair
enough. Yeah. We can talk separate, Chirag.
Sure, sir.
If it is okay with you.
Sure, that's fine.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Shah from Sotheros Capital. Please go ahead.
Mr.
Shah, there is a disturbance coming from your line. Please check.
Is it better now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I just want to know what would be your capacity utilization for Q4 and the full year of 2022? Hello?
Mr. Shah, this is the operator. There is a disturbance coming again from your line. Please check.
I would like to know what would be your capacity utilization for Q4 and FY22?
Q4, I think we were at about 80% plus levels.
Okay. And I would like to understand, you know, that we have done like 368 crores for this quarter. So it is fair to assume that, you know, from going forward from here, you know, we would be on that run rate around 350 crores on quarterly basis.
I'm sorry, I could not hear your question.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yeah, it is there, but your question I could not hear properly.
So now that, you know, we are at 80%, I wanted to know, is it fair to assume that we'd have a quarterly run rate of 350 odd crores in sales?
I think that will be our target, yes.
Okay, and this last bit on the price hikes, you know, have we received all the price hikes or, you know, there are few price hikes that we might undertake going forward?
Well, the discussions are a continuous process, so I think there will be some more price hikes requested for with the customers.
Okay, that's it from my end. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Varun Jain, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so my first question would be like, this year our cash conversion is very less. Historically, we have been a very cash-rich company, like converting all of our EBITDA into cash. But this year it's been very disappointing to see that our whole cash is crunched into inventories and receivables. Any particular reason, like any problem from the client side, we are not receiving the payments at all?
So because of the logistics and all other situation, you know, we explained in our speech that there had been a shortage of raw material and there was some logistics issues and all. We had to keep high inventories. And that's the reason the inventory has gone up and then you're seeing the cash conversion to be slightly different.
And why are the receivables so high? Like, it's like 70 crores. Money stuck in our receivables.
Our sales have gone up. If you look at our sales, have also gone up significantly. There are no bad issues there. You know, we have a very.
So it would be recovered eventually.
Yeah. Everything would be recovered.
And out of it, 25-30 crores are stuck in Ukraine, Russia. So would it be recoverable, or that's already into provision and all?
No, that's not 25-30. We have had a provision of 13.8 crore. Look at the published results. But we hope that once the situation resume, we will be able to, because they are our long-term customers. I think once they resume their operations, we should be in a position to recover that.
One more issue which I see in the company is there is lots of cash and it's in the current account. And it's not in the standalone balance sheet, it's in the consolidated balance sheet. Around 120 crores of cash is in our current account and it's been increasing for last 2-3 years. The current account doesn't give any yield. So like, what are your plans for that cash? Like, are you looking for any inorganic acquisition or are you planning to like invest it somewhere so that we can at least have a good yield out of it?
In the overseas segment, I think the fixed deposits do not give so much of things. So I think they are in mix and match in the cash balance. And obviously the cash is lying there if we get a good opportunity. we'll like.
But it's been 3 years now. Like, when are we going to deploy it? Because it's not yielding anything. It's like 0% yield on so much amount of cash.
We have to have opportunities to invest.
Okay, so are you planning to like shift that money into India and use that money to fund our expansion?
That money will be there only.
So what?
Spending the money
is there
in
any
India
plan?
Will be a double taxation only.
Oh, okay, that's why. And are there any plans like to invest in bonds or some mutual funds overseas itself in America or in Germany and all?
No, there are no major returns there, so we keep that as it is.
Thank you.
No major advantage. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jain. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions? We'll take the next question from the line of Keshav Garg from CCIPL. Please go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to understand, sir, when our American subsidiaries will stop underperforming, even on a low base of last year, we have still registered a decline year on year from 15.5 crore PBIT to 4.4 crore. And the operating margin in this business is 2% and return on capital is 3%. So why are we putting so much time, effort and management bandwidth over there? Why don't we just dispose of this business while the going is still good? Because, I mean, as soon as the steel cycle turns, this business might start making losses.
Jim, will you answer this? Or shall I?
Sure. Could you repeat the question, please? I think you said, why don't we dispose of the businesses in the U.S.? Is that correct?
Yes, because this business is not giving us anything. No return on capital, no margin.
Yeah, I would say that that's a correct statement for perhaps the last financial year. We still managed to get margin from it, but certainly not at the levels that we're normally used to. The U.S. businesses normally provide us with profitability, which is amongst the highest levels in the group. But over the last year, we have seen a bit of a deterioration in that. We are very confident that we will see a return to the normal levels throughout this financial year. And in fact, we're looking to grow the business in the United States, which we believe is a very strong market for the group. We are number two supplier in the products, and certainly the problem that we've faced in the United States has been the quite unprecedented cost increases and the level of increases that the company is faced in all aspects of business, raw materials, labor, energy cost. But we feel very confident that we have a plan in place to mitigate those cost increases, particularly with the support of our customers. And we are fully committed to the United States in the future and hope to continue to expand our business there.
Sure. So I also wanted to understand that our stock is almost trading at our book value now, and we have a net cash position of 175 crores, and we have a total capex across the next two financial years of around 150-160 crores, whereas our annual operating cash flow itself is around 150 crores in a normal year. So in that case, why are we sitting on so much excess cash why don't we use those cash proceeds to buy back and extinguish our own shares so that our equity capital can contract and our earnings per share will permanently increase? So what are your thoughts on this?
Okay. We have been giving a good dividend. You must have seen last year we paid a dividend of almost 100%, which is 10 rupees per share. This year, the board has announced 7 rupees a share, so that's a good payout. That's number one. Number two, we have announced an expansion plan, which will also require a lot of cash. And we personally believe that, With the expansion, the values will automatically increase. With buyout, it's only a one-time transaction. With an expansion and increasing the value and of the company, which will be a permanent increase of the valuation. So I think as of now, the amount of cash which we have, buyback is not in our thought processes.
Sure, sir. And so lastly, if I can just ask you that broadly, what will be the replacement cost of all our plants that we have, all the infrastructure that we have set up at today's market price, if we are going to recreate it?
Very difficult question. We have not thought about it that way.
Sir, but surely it will be more than the book value, right?
It will be.
So then in that case, when our stock is already trading at book value, and the real value of our assets is far higher. So rather than go out and, construct a new asset, it's better to just buy back our own shares, because behind every share is the capacity of the company. And if the number of shares decrease...
Possibly there's a different thought in this. We believe spending within the company will give more value to the shareholders.
Okay,
and as I said, the cash is not enough to give a good buyback scheme as of now. We'll come out with the buyback as and when the thought processes are clear with the company. As of now, we are in the expansion mode, and I think we feel that will give more benefit to the shareholders.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Setalwar from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead. Chirag, your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead with your question. Mr. Chirag Setalwar, your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead with your question. As there is no response from the current participant, we'll move on to the next question from the line of Priyanka Shah from NM Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I have a few questions. So can you please share some insight on the refractory demand from Indian market?
What do you want to know, please?
The refractory, sir. Demand for that.
Demand?
Yes, demand.
I think the current Indian market will be close to anywhere between 12,000 to 15,000 crores. That's, I think there are no authentic data which I have, but I can only just give you the guesswork, which will be...
And really also, Kamal, you know, the Indian market is growing at a pace which is larger than any other market, or certainly India is the number two producer of steel in the world. I think in 2022... The prediction is that it will grow a further 6.5% to 7%, and in 2023 it will be a further 7%. I think I'm correct in saying. These are levels which are much higher than any other country in the world. Steel increase is directly related to our refractory business, because IFGL is 100% in the steel industry refractory business. So, as Kamal said, we've got a market there at the moment which is substantial, but the growth of the Indian market is amongst the highest of any country in the world. Sorry, Kamal.
Yeah, it's okay. So the other thing is that, you know, India, if you look at the national steel policy, it talks of going to about 300 million metric tons by 2030-31 from the current capacities of 140-145 million metric tons. So you can imagine we are talking of doubling the capacities in the next 8 or 9 years time, which is a significant growth, anywhere between 7 to 8% or 9% CAGR. So the refractory market is one of the most exciting market amongst any of the countries in the world today.
Okay,
if that is okay with you, yeah. The answer.
Sir, one more question. How will the new resource center help us in our business?
Sorry?
New resource center will help us in our business?
Jim, will you, I think you're the best person to answer that.
for any company which is in a technical area, and refractories is a technical area, research and development is very, very important. Our company till date has operated very successfully and I would say copying others in terms of the refractories that we wanted to produce. The research center basis is to increase the technology capability of the company, to bring us new products and also new high performance materials. But also sustainability is a very important area for any company in today's world. And the design of refractory products requires research into the use of materials which will enable us to improve our sustainability in the refractory market. This is something which really requires a very high tech approach. It's not something that you can do without state of the art equipment. So our objective for the research centre is a multi faceted aspect. One is new product development. Two is high performance material development. And three is the development of sustainability material designs, which will enable us to improve our cost effectiveness. And this area will be in the four main refractory parts of the company. So it's a very exciting project for us. And obviously, from an investment standpoint, it's an investment which is going to be providing a very good fundamental technical base to the company for years into the future.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. Sir, firstly, if you could give some more color on how is the raw material basket behaving currently? Has the escalation in prices still stand abated, or had they plateaued out?
I think I just mentioned that there, for some raw material, they have flattened. I think we are coming to a stable situation. But there are some raw material where the price is still increasing. Because you know that China, the situation of COVID is still very unclear. They have on and off COVID-related restrictions in some place or the other. So till that situation, I think the price for the next 3 to 6 months will remain, for some raw material it would remain on the higher end.
Sir, for the geographies, what has been our utilization levels currently for India, Europe, and America? And how are the things looking up for the current year in terms of what kind of volume growth are we looking for FY20?
I mentioned about 80% plus levels of utilization in India, in the two plants, Odisha and Gujarat plant. Vizag is still new, so Vizag utilization is still to peak out. And for the rest of the world, it should be somewhere around 70 to 80% plus only. And the current year looks also similar, promising.
Current year also looks in the same trajectory, sir.
Yes, please.
And from the Visakhapatnam plant, on the ramp-up part, what kind of additional volume addition, whether any meaningful volume addition will happen for this year?
Yeah, that will be there. That's why the plant is being put.
Could you quantify in percentage terms for what would be?
I think we should be looking at 25%-40% utilization levels in this financial year.
An overall mix, what would be that translate into the volume growth for India as a whole?
I think I have not worked out that way. That will definitely give a jump in the turnover, but I have not worked out that way.
So I was just looking at the volume. If you could give me in terms of quantity, volume growth, that would also suffice.
I think the quantity informations are difficult. We can discuss offline sometimes. You can speak to Shrenik and we can have a discussion separately.
Thank you, Mr. Kapoor. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So my first question is regarding Hopkins. This year we have seen the margins remaining very healthy, more than 12%, and the last quarter was record high. So what are the reasons for such such healthy margins, and how do we see at this subsidiary performance going ahead? What kind of margins can it maintain going ahead?
Jim, would you take this question?
Sure. We believe that, Hoffman, over the past year, we have introduced a very dynamic young organization. It has, allowed us to grow the company on a basis which we believe will be able to sustain the kind of margins that we see today, and in fact to grow these with extended manufacturing investment, which we hope to do during the coming year. And we believe that obviously the product mix that we have there is such that we are benefiting from the local customers in Europe reluctance to buy, especially from China. There was in the past a great focus of the European customers, especially in the foundry area, to buy from China. And a lot of these customers are now looking at their local options or domestic options or European options rather than buying from overseas. And, Hoffman has been in a position to enjoy a growth at some of these customers due to that reason. But as I said, from a company viewpoint, we believe that we are strengthening our team. We are strengthening the approach to the future market, which will enable us to sustain the performance that we're seeing now in the future.
Right, thank you, sir. My second question was regarding these two customers in Ukraine for which we have realized these provisions. So on an annual basis, what was the revenue that we got from these customers, which is at risk going ahead in FY23?
So that's about 25 crores or so from these two customers.
That's the annual number, right, sir?
Yeah, that's about an annual number.
So there's a good possibility that in FY23 we might not have this number.
If these plants, do not open at all.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, no one has a crystal ball.
Yeah.
The Ukraine market, other than the Mariupol area, which is the area where these two customers are located, the rest of the Ukrainian market has started to open up and produce product on a regular basis and is opening up tenders and supply of product to those. But the customers in the Mariupol area, due to the conflict being at its height in the eastern Ukraine, are affected obviously by that. We cannot say today where that conflict is going to go, and indeed once the conflict is over, you know, what the state of the plants has been. This is the reason why we have taken the provisions that we have out of an abundance of caution. Obviously, we hope that everyone in that region is safe and we can see a reopening of those customers, but we have no capability of predicting it one way or the other. I'm sorry that we just can't answer that question.
Got it, sir. Thank you. And my last question is regarding what was announced for the Vizag facility, that you know, there'll be a new product line that we are introducing. So can you just throw some more light on what is the product, what is the kind of market that we see in India, and what could be the, you know, potential revenue that we can expect? If not a number, just a bit more light on what are we targeting as such, as when it comes to the product.
So we are talking of few product introduction and some expansion in the existing product range. So one is the precast shapes. It will basically be large shapes which we want to introduce in Vizag. So that that plant is under construction right now, and then we would also go into brick business. We are not into brick in a big way. We have a small pilot production in our existing plant in Odisha. So we'll get into that business just to take care of our existing flow control business to that extent. And we would expand our capabilities of the bold flux which we manufacture in Rourkela. So we'll have a more automated, a fully automated plant in Vizag.
Right, sir. So this will be alumina or magnesia bricks?
Magnesia carbon bricks.
Okay. And bone flux is exactly that's a kind of refractory, or is it kind of a
refractory? That's a refractory.
Okay. Got it, sir. That's all from my side. All the best. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinit Kala from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So, last 2-3 quarters, other listed players have expanded their gross margins by around 200 to 300 bits on their base, while our margins are under some sort of pressure. So, I was just curious to understand, you know, why is this happening?
See, if you look at our quarter four notes to accounts, we have taken a provision of 14 crores on account of Ukraine. So that's
I'm talking about the gross margin. So I'm just comparing the material cost there.
Material costs, ours has always been on a higher side only. It was never on a lower side. So it all depends on the product mix. I don't know with whom you are trying to compare, but if you look at our gross profit margin, the way you are looking at, our gross profit margins are higher compared to the other two listed entities.
So if I just compare the material cost to sales, right? So yeah. If I just do that, what am I saying is that our material cost to sale is increasing by 200 to 300 bits, while both the other listed entities, like of considerable size, theirs have reduced by 200 to 300 bits. So I was just comparing that. So what I thought is, you know, anything on the pricing pressure, or if we are passing it on to the customer of anything of that sort. So if you could highlight.
I don't know about them, but definitely pricing pressure has been there. I think we spoke extensively. Jim, in his speech, has mentioned the impact of the price pressures, including the ocean freight for all imports from China. So the pricing pressure has been there, and also he spoke of the timing difference between the cost increase and the time when the customer gets the increase. So there's always a time lag. It can be 3 months, 6 months, it can be slightly more also. So that has resulted in higher raw material cost to sales.
Fair enough. So, sir, we can expect anything over next 2 to 3 quarters wherein we will take the price hike, or that will come down to our P&L?
Yeah, so we are pushing very hard to increase our price, and most of our customers have supported the price increase, and we are asking for a bit more, and we are in dialogue, and I think there will be some price increases in this quarter also.
Fair enough, fair enough. So also one more thing, I just wanted to understand on your timelines for the goodwill amortization adjustment. So where are we in terms of the NCLT process on this?
It will take a bit more time. I'll not be able to give you a timeline.
Like ideally.
No, we'll not be able to give you any timelines. We have a lot of things on the cards to do for us. So we'll take a call in the next quarter. By next quarter, we'll take a call on this. How far we are on this process.
So currently, our goodwill amount is around 220 odd crore rupees on FY22 balance sheet.
It should be about 107 or 108 crores. It's 4 years and left.
So, and annual amortization is, if you could articulate that amount, like what is?
7 crores.
Sorry?
26.7 crores each year.
26.7 crores. Okay, so that's it from us. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Jain, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So just one question I had to ask, like you are also entering into precast, bricks and monolithics. Basically, we are the specialty refractory player. So how it will impact our gross margins going ahead? Would it decrease or would it be stable around the same level?
No, these are also profitable products.
No, I know that these are profitable, but specialty refractories, we don't face any competition from Chinese imports, and we are the market leaders in specialty. Obviously, they will come with more benefit and we'll have more.
Magnesia carbon manufacturing in India comes from the Atmanirbhar Bharat and Make in India plan. So most of these steel companies today wants to buy products made locally. So you will see in the next one and a half year time, I think the entire magnesia carbon would be served by manufacturers.
Yes, that I'm observing as like Dalmia Refractory, they are also opening the magnesium liquid plant in Jhansi, I think so. Katni. Also one more question from my side. This recession which we are going, like there are talks about recession coming in US and Europe and all these countries. So how it is going to affect our company going ahead?
Again, all we can do is look at what the predictions are for the steel industry, which is the industry that we serve, and the one of the best bodies with regard to predicting the steel outcomes for the future is the World Steel Association. And the World Steel Association believes that in each of these areas, for the next 2 years, we will continue to see growth. And for us, this is the important metric.
Just one last question I have. I was going through RHI Magnesita annual report. They were talking about coming with a concept called as total refractory management, wherein it would be fully integrated process. They would provide the refractory and they would recycle it and they will again provide. That would bring more customer loyalty. So are we looking to have this thing in our business model also implementing TRM and all?
Well, there's quite a difference in company size and structure between IFGL Refractories and RHI Magnesita. Obviously, RHI Magnesita are one of the largest refractory companies in the world, if not the largest. And, you know, their product mix is throughout the complete refractory range. Their recent acquisitions into the recycled materials and various other elements have allowed them to view a strategy which is based around a more complete approach to business. Our company doesn't have that size or range of products to be able to do this. But
as we are growing, continuously growing and continuously doing expansion, so in future we would have also a good product basket. So can we also implement same kind of thing?
It would be some years off. I think that for us, the main focus is expand the areas that we're involved in right now, expand our technological capability, improve our product performance, and by that, grow our business. But the business models that RHI Magnesita discuss would be completely different from the business models for IFGL Refractories. Completely different.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's from my side. Thanks a lot for entertaining my questions. Really means a lot. Thanks.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Jim, I'm doing it. So, okay. Thank you, everyone.
Yes, by the way.
Thanks. So, thanks for attending this call. And it was a wonderful question and answer sessions. Some of them I think we could answer quite well, and some, if there are any queries, you can contact our SGA investor relation advisors, and look forward to your participation in the next call. Thank you very much, and have a nice evening.
Thank you.
On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.